This is Authors Alcove, where writers learn from writers. Readers get the inside scoop, and everyone learns something. An episode comes out every Wednesday where writers share their latest work, every other Tuesday where us writers get taught by such experts as editors, book cover artists, and marketing execs, and beyond. So grab a cup of coffee, and let's dive into our next book. Hi, welcome to Authors Alcove. I am your host, Agnes Wolf. Today, I have the author of science fiction and epic fantasy, Andre Jones. He was a Royal Australian Navy veteran and served for 18 years, and he recently published his most recent book, City of Bridges, which will be soon out in audiobook format. And he recently published the third book in his Death Wave Chronicles. We will discuss the writing process, how to plan for a series, and where he draws inspiration from. Thank you for joining us, Andre.
Thank you, Agnes. Well, glad to be here.
Do you mind just sharing a little bit about yourself and what caused you to join the writing world?
It started about 25 years ago. I was doing a role-playing, Dungeons and Dragons, Middle-earth role-playing, and I thought I could do better, so I designed a role-playing game. Then I joined the Navy, and I couldn't playtest my role-playing game anymore, so I decided to write about it. Life on a ship is not overly exciting a lot of the time, so I had plenty of time to write, but not being a, shall we say, a professional writer, I've never had any serious training in writing. I didn't believe in myself, and like a lot of fledgling writers out there, it just takes time to get confident. So, long story short, 20 years later, COVID, retired, money, nothing else to do. I started writing. You may have heard the stories in Melbourne, Australia. We had almost on and off 2 years of lockdowns. So in those 2 years, I wrote six books. And City of Bridges was my first book. I wrote the whole series in about 6-7 months. Mind you, as I say, City of Bridges was mostly written 20 years before. I just revamped it. And so that's now out in audiobook. Book two is coming out in audiobook this year, soon. And once I'd finished that series, I had to move on to something else. So I moved on to an urban fantasy as opposed to an epic fantasy. So to answer your question, I was bored. That's why I started writing. I had a story in my head and I had to get rid of it.
So as far as City of Bridges, do you mind just sharing the basic plot without giving any away spoilers?
It's a sort of a time travel and a fantasy mixture. I love science fiction. I love fantasy. I had to have both. So City of Bridges itself is a standalone. I have seven, because it's based on a role-playing game, I have different races other than humans. So I have a hybrid cat-human thief who is in a bad way, and she stumbles across something, and other people, more powerful people, want it. And so they're trying to get it. And she doesn't have to be alive for them to get the information. So she learns more about herself. It's a lot of world building. I learn a lot about Chakaran, the world that it happens on. I have wyverns. Do you like wyverns? You know, dumb cousins of dragons. Don't tell them that. But got undead, telepaths, aliens, evil cults. So everything you'd want in an epic fantasy.
So you said that this one is a standalone, because I thought it was part of a series that you were going to have. It was going to be like a 7-part series.
No. Well, it's not 7 parts. It's 3 parts. It's called The Seven Portals. And I understand a lot of people think, oh, there's 7 portals. So there's 7 books. I don't call it a trilogy, because I feel that there's a lot of scope for expansion of other characters. There's a lot of arcs in the story that other characters can, they have their own adventures. So one of my readers says I should write about the wyverns. She said the wyverns were cool. They were great characters by themselves. Write a book about them. Okay, I will. But it's not part of the arc. The story, the arc is finished in 3 books. So you have City of Bridges, Shadow of the Tower, Ripples in Time. And it follows the same character all the way through. Some of the previous characters reappear because there's about a 20-year time lapse between books one and book three. So the standalone, that's right, I got back there. So it's a standalone because at the time, being an unknown author, I heard at the time that a lot of publishers do not like trilogies or open-ended books by someone who they don't know. So the idea was to write a standalone and see how that went. Didn't go too well, so I'm independently published. Let's just say that it wasn't the right book at the right time for that author, for that publisher. So I went by myself. And so book one is a standalone. All the major plots have been covered. The arcs. So you'd read the book and go, okay, I can read that and I'm satisfied that the ending was just. However, book two starts 2 weeks later and it continues on. So there's a lot of subplots in the background, bit of world building. Where do these seven races come from? What are the seven portals? And whilst they're not burning questions in book one, I make them become more prominent in books two and books three.
So books what are two, the seven portals?
Say again, sorry.
So what are the seven portals?
I can't tell you. You said no spoilers. Let's just say
all right.
Seven, because it's, as I say, it's based on a role-playing game that I designed, and we have seven different races. We would know seven races don't all appear on the one world at the same time. One race would dominate another one, or they'd fight until the end. Seven races on the world, they're not native. Seven races, seven portals, so they come from different worlds. How'd the portals get there? Oh, that hasn't been down in writing yet.
So you also have written other books. So this is just one of six books. The other ones, are they part of a separate series? Or?
Yes. So understand that the City of Bridges, or the arc, the story plot for City of Bridges and the Seven Portals series was in my head for 20 years. I finally got rid of it and I thought I'm going to try something else now. And again, understanding that this is during COVID and there was a lot of conspiracy theories, a lot of stuff going on that, oh, you know, that's not true, or that's, well, not true. It's just bullshit. So I, being locked down a lot, there was a lot of Google searching, going down the rabbit hole, the Alice in Wonderland rabbit hole, and finding all this conspiracy theory, finding all this pseudoscience, all this fringe science, all this stuff that is out there. Some people believe in it, some people don't. And I thought I could put all this together into a more urban fantasy. So that was the beginning of the Death Wave trilogy. So in the Death Wave trilogy, which will be five books, of which three have been written, we have Gaia Myth. So the Earth is alive. We are the cancer. Gaia wants to destroy us to save the planet. However, as we are part of Gaia, we are part of the Earth, we are part of nature, she's given us a chance. And that chance is basically, if you live in harmony with the environment, if you're living in tune with the environment, then you have a chance of survival. So the death wave is a frequency that Gaia emanates from chakra locations. So if you believe that the earth is alive, the earth therefore has energy or chakra locations, these chakra locations emit a frequency which affects our immune system. And if you are not in tune with Gaia, that frequency will, well, you won't have any immune system and therefore anything will kill you. So tetanus, rabies, smallpox, the common cold, you will die. Your immune system shuts down completely. And so we have our main character, slightly naive young lady who has a very strong affinity with nature, feels that, without trying to say this, without trying to say she's the chosen one, she feels that she can do a lot of good. So we just follow her travels with her sidekicks.
So it sounds like it has a little bit of Hindu history in there. Are you aware of that?
Bit of everything.
Yeah.
I've got Gaia myth. I've got Inca myth. I've got the who built the pyramids. So I always, at book fairs, when people ask about it, I say it's a mash of pseudoscience, fringe science, weird science, and conspiracy theory thrown together. So if you liked Warehouse 13 and Raiders of the Lost Ark or Temple of the Doom, you'll like the Death Wave series.
So would you consider yourself more of a plotter or a pantser when you're writing?
Definitely a pantser.
Definitely a pantser.
I have a character or a couple of characters. I know where it's going to, roughly where it's going to end. And then I just start writing.
And you go to write a series. So do you know how many books it's going to be? What's going to happen in each book from the moment that you start, even though you're pantsing it? Or is that kind of something that just kind of comes along as it goes?
Yes, it comes along as it goes. But, okay, so the Death Wave Chronicles was going to be 6 books. And then I, after a lot of, because I'm thinking, you know, there's six, there were 7 chakras locations. Okay, there's lots of chakra locations. The particular ones I chose was the 7. There's 12, 24, 360, depending on which website you go to. I chose 7. 2 are in England at the moment. One's at Stonehenge, one's at Glastonbury Tor. So I thought, well, that's 2 in one book because they're both in the same country. So that became one book. So the 7 chakras became 6 books. And then further research, we've got Ayers Rock or Uluru in Central Australia and Mount Kailash in Nepal. And I can't find a lot of information about those areas, and I couldn't make a lot of it up. But I thought I can probably put those 2 in the one book. And so the 6 books become 5 books. So, no, I haven't got a crystal ball to say this is going to be 3 books, 5 books, 7 books. I start off with an idea and I go from there.
So I'm very curious about this 7 chakras thing because, like, I know the 7 chakras of the body. So do you, is there like scientific evidence of where the chakras are, or did you create where they were from your imagination?
I Googled. And so there are lots of websites out there and they will tell you that there are, as I said, 7, 12, 24, 360, 1,000 chakra locations around the globe. So I just, you know, being lazy, I didn't want to write 1,000 books. So same story. So I picked 7. So the 7 chakra locations that this website, and I should have had all the little links in my ebook so people could go to it and say, I'm not making this up. This is there, to give it a bit more realism. So they say there's 7. 2, as I said, Stonehenge and Glastonbury Tor. One is at the Giza Plateau, which is book 3, Sphinx. One is Uluru. One is at Nepal. One is in Mount Shasta in Northern California. And the first one starts off, called Relic, is in Peru. So a lot of that's where the Incan myth comes in. So if you look at my covers for Relic, it has the Incan myth sun disk on the cover with a bit of a tropical or crystal background, because I'm introducing the crystal. Crystal healing comes into it because that's part of the pseudoscience, weird science, fringe science. 2 is Druid. So that's Stonehenge and Glastonbury Tor. Book 3, Giza Plateau, we have the Sphinx and all the myths and legends about the Giza Plateau, who built the pyramids. Okay, the Egyptians did it. Great. Why did they stop 3,500 years ago? Might be some alien influence there. We go to Area 53, which is Area 51 became too publicized. Area 52 was established, but then that disappeared and the researchers were mucking around with some alien antimatter drive. So we have Area 53. So we have a bit of fun with that as well. Sorry.
Oh, no, you keep going.
Book four will be Mount Kailash and Uluru. So that's Nepal and Central Australia. And I have to tie those together somehow. And then book five, we go to North California, Mount Shasta, which is a belief that it is the doorway to Atlantis, or at least Lemuria, which was part of Atlantis.
I am actually very intrigued. I did not end up looking up. I looked up city. I looked up City of Bridges, but I did not look up the Death Wave Chronicles. And now with all these like chakras, I'm like, interesting.
Well, so, as I say, it's a mash of stories that are already out there on the web. And all I've done is I've just tried to grab local legends, local myths, put them all together and somehow come up with a plausible connection. And we might have the Illuminati in there as well.
Of course, if you're going to write about conspiracy theories, it has to have the Illuminati in it.
Of course, it's a given, isn't it?
Yes. So you got a lot of your inspiration from some of the conspiracy theories. What are some of them that you actually believe yourself?
It's not some, I'd love to, it's like life after death. I'd love to believe in it. I suppose I'm just a cynic. I regrettably believe that when we die, we just go into the ground and that's it, become worm food. I suppose if I had a couple of, a few more drinks, I'd love to think that, yes, there was life after death, that there would be aliens out there. So I do believe in aliens. I've never seen one, and I can see the massive amounts of information that says that there should be somewhere out there in the galaxy, but it is big. As Douglas Adams would say, it's space is mind-bogglingly big. But if you look at the science, we are, 4.5 billion years old. The galaxy is, 13, 15 billion years old. We've only been here for a heartbeat. So other aliens could have come and gone, or other civilizations could have come and gone a long time ago, and we wouldn't know anything about it. So timing comes down to timing. So one of the things I would love to believe in is aliens. Yes, I'm convinced that there are other intellectual entities out there. Will we ever meet them? Probably not. But who knows?
As far as the writing process for you, what is the hardest part of writing, editing, and publishing process?
Well, getting the first words down, I suppose, is always the hard part. But you can't edit what you haven't written. So even if you do start writing and it is crap, you've got something to work on. But if you don't write, then you've got nothing to work on. I don't believe in writer's block. If I find myself in a corner, I go back a couple of chapters to find out why have my characters taken me down this path? Because if you're a pantser and you haven't got your picture board of what's going to happen next, a lot of the times what happens is as I'm writing it, my characters are going to do something and I'm talking to myself, why are you going there? Don't do that. And I'm telling my characters doing exactly what I don't want them to do. Anyway, so I go back a couple of chapters to find out what have I missed? Because a lot of the times my subconscious puts in a lot of this information in and I don't know it's doing it. So I write back, I go back a few chapters, find out what I've missed, or I get a better beat on what's happening, and then I continue on from there. Sometimes I'll just go and watch a movie. If I find myself in a corner, I'll go and watch a movie. I'll write down some notes for another book that I've thought about. But once the writing is, it's not easy, but I love it. So you just keep doing it. Marketing is a bad thing. Too good at marketing. Sometimes it comes down to luck. Sometimes it comes down to having the money to pay for it. But the writing is in my control. I can write as much as I need or as much as I want every day. I'm retired. I'm one of those lucky ones that, as some people say, I am living the dream. I don't need to sell a book to put food on the table. I need to sell a book to sort of help pay the costs. But writing, I just love it. I just love doing it. And I suppose the worst thing could ever happen would be not being able to write. Publishing is, if you're independent, you can do that quite easily. It's the printing costs that cost the money, because you can always, most of your listeners would understand, you can get a free ISBN through Amazon or other formats. You can put ebooks out there. You can put them as PDF, and you don't have to print them yourselves. Let Amazon do that. But if you wanted to go to book fairs or conferences, you need something solid. And that's where the cost, that's where the personal cost comes in, because you're outlaying the $300,000-$400,000 to buy the ticket for the stores, to get the printing done. You do it professionally, and all my covers are done by a professional, all my editing is done professionally. So there is that hidden cost. And yes, I know people who do a lot cheaper, but I don't, so I pay for it. So that part of the publishing is a hidden expense. But once you, if you're not printing hard paperbacks and you're not going to fairs, you can do it fairly inexpensively. But if you're going to those fairs, you've got to come up with the solid goods beforehand, which is, it's like any sort of sacrifice. You pay for it, and then you hope that you'll recoup the costs later. Having said that, not wanting to sound so pessimistic to all those fledgling authors out there, it is great. The best thing I've ever done is gone to the fairs, and I've met the people who are reading my books. My first book fair, I did quite well, but my first book fair in Melbourne was what we call Oz Comic Con. It's probably like Comic Cons they have around the world, but being Australian, they call it Oz Comic Con. A lady bought my book one, City of Bridges, and she bought it, I signed it, she went off, and about 2 hours later, she came back. She said, I was just having some lunch, I started reading, I have to buy books two and books three. Right? That is feedback to your face in real life. And that's what makes it worthwhile. Seeing people coming back, oh, you know, I saw your book and I just love the cover. Hopefully they like the reading as well, but, you know, I've got to buy your book, or my friend told me they saw this book and they've got to buy it. So when you get that in your face, person to person, it makes it all worthwhile.
So how do you find the book fairs to go to, and how do you get your name so that way you're able to present your books there?
A lot of the times it's having the money, because it's sometimes they're fairly expensive, and you've got to do it at least 6 months in advance because they sell quite quickly. So for Oz Comic Con, for instance, I think in Australia the next one's June next year. I've missed it. I can't do it anyway because, you know, they've already got. And I'm in Europe at the moment, and I'll be in Europe sort of spring, summer next year. So the thing is, you've got to be, if you haven't been to those before, you've got to get in early, give them a good reason, give them a bit of a spiel about your books, website, a couple of reviews. But so the process, it is fairly simple. You apply, and it's not always a first in best dress. Sometimes they may accept you, or if you're not that prominent, or you haven't got many books out, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want to badmouth anyone. The other drawback is a lot of it is non-refundable. So if you want to pay your $400 Australian and then find out 3 months later you can't make it, oh, well, too bad, so sad. So it's a sacrifice. But it's just life. You know, you don't know what's going to happen in 2-3 months' time, so you just go with it. But the book fairs were good fun. They're expensive. You just got to know about it. I'm currently researching book fairs in the UK for next year. I'm in France. I'll be in France for about 6 months next year. And I can't speak French. So I have to look for book fairs at countries that I can speak English. And so the UK is. I've been penned down for a book fair in Belfast in 2025. And there's a couple in central England next year. But I've only just started in the last month or so. I've sent lots of emails out. I've got a couple back. So we'll see how we go. But my plan is next year, for all your English listeners, I'm pushing to get to as many book fairs as I can between April and September next year in the UK.
Well, good luck with that. So you are far above me. I have not yet published my book. I'm just finished the rough. Well, I'm almost finished with the rough draft. I feel like I am because I got over that big climax. Yep. So I've been asking everybody this, and especially with you having published 6 books, what is one piece of advice that you would give to a not yet published author?
Don't listen to the critics. You need to let go. You're probably not you, but I 20 years I played with my manuscript until I finally knuckled down to do it. I'm not saying everyone should take 20 years because, you know, some people want to do it before they retire. But the first book is always the hardest because you don't want to let it go. You want it to be perfect. It won't be. I used to run a lot. And if you want to run a marathon, you don't just throw on the shoes and run 42 kilometers, 26.2 miles. So writing is a training method like anything else. So you write, and you can work on, if you want to, you can work on your first manuscript for 20 years like I did, but I wouldn't recommend it. So you write the best that you can. You put in as much as you can into it. Yes, you get positive, you get criticism, you get positive feedback, you get your ARC readers, they give you some advice or not. And then at some stage down the track, you have to say, this is the best I can do. Let it go. See how it goes. Okay. If it doesn't work, okay, use a pseudonym, write something else, move along. But you have to let it go. And you'll find that once you've let it go, the second book will be easier.
I like that.
That's about it. Let go.
That's one thing that I'm really glad that I ask everybody, because it's surprising, because usually people will say something, you know, you just need to write or something like that, but they always bring something. And I like that what you said, you know, you just got to let it go. I really like that. I just want to thank you very much for being on here. And can you just share a little bit about what books you have published and where we can find them?
Okay, so if you've been paying attention, so the first series, Epic Fantasy, it's called the Seven Portals series. There are 3 books in that series at the moment. And that's why I haven't called it a trilogy, because about the expanding arcs of other characters. So book 1, City of Bridges. Book 2, Shadow of the Tower. Book 3, Ripples in Time. Ebooks are exclusive to Amazon. So if you're on Kindle, get to it. Paperbacks, if you're in Australia, go to my website, andrejonesauthor.site, and signed and free delivery in Australia. Otherwise, Amazon and whatever other distributors have taken. I went wide in my early days, and then I've culled back the ebooks to Amazon Kindle. So, but you should be out of my paper books in most Barnes and Nobles. Is it Waters? Waterstone in the UK, Ingram Spark, and of course the Death Wave Chronicles. Three books of five written so far. Book one, A Relic. Book two is Druid. Book three is Sphinx. Book four will probably be called Gnostic, getting very ethereal there. And don't know what book five is going to be. It'll have something to do with Atlantis, probably called Utopia or something. And Amazon, Andre Jones.
I have all of the links in the show notes so people can check that out if they are interested. I know that I am actually very interested in reading the series about with all of the chakras, just because I have been interested in our own body, but I did not realize that there were ones throughout the world. Whether it's true or not, that just fascinates me. So I'm very, very interested in that.
I was going to say, it's just part of that myth that if the human body is alive, well, the human body is alive and it's got chakra locations and the earth is a living entity, it therefore has chakra locations also.
Yes, that really intrigues me because I do believe in some of that stuff. Thank you. Thank you very much for being on my show.
You're welcome, Agnes. Thank you very much for inviting me.
And I would also just like to thank my listeners. I do have the links that he talked about in the show notes if you're interested in reading any of his books. If you enjoyed this episode, you might also enjoy listening to science fiction writer Richard Friesen or fantasy writer Elsie Kahn. Again, his most recent book is City of Bridges, and we also discussed his books, Death Wave Chronicles. Those will be in the show notes along with his website. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Authors Alcove. We will be back next week on Wednesday, where we will have a writer share yet another piece of work. Also, every other Tuesday, we do learn from experts such as editors, marketing execs, book cover artists, illustrators, and more. If you are interested in being a guest on our show, feel free to go to authorsalcove.com, go to the podcast tab, and then click on Be a Guest. If you're looking for a healed heart, hop on over to our sister podcast, Strength, Love, and Healing with Authors Alcove. You can find that on Spotify and the Apple Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a great day.